number 29.
As well this morning, and we welcome you to fellowship with us, and those that have tuned in on live stream, a hearty welcome. What a blessing it is to get together in God's house of prayer to enjoy fellowship with each other and with our Creator, God Almighty. I want to thank you for the worship team who led us in worship and singing this morning. It's a beautiful way to prepare our hearts for what God wants to speak to us. The song says it so well. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I trust we can all acknowledge that we can all agree with that. I greet you this morning with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning we pause, we give you thanks for this beautiful, beautiful morning you've given us. The fresh breeze, the beautiful sunlight, the singing of the birds, and the spring is upon us. Lord, it's just another reminder of your sovereignty. You have created all things, and you have put all things in your time. And Father, this morning as we have gathered here, you look down upon us and you see us. Father, we come before you in humbleness and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this privilege that we have to get together and worship you. And Lord, we know that there is a word that you want to speak to us this morning. And Father, we pray that your spirit would have free course. We realize as human beings, we are so weak. And Lord, when we are weak, you are strong. And that's what we depend on this morning. And Father, as we surrender our hearts and lives to you, may your word just speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you and bring sanctification on a continuous level so that we can always draw nearer to you, as the song said it so well. Father, this morning we pray that those gathering in different congregations this morning and would really acknowledge that it is only until we receive Jesus Christ in our hearts that we can enjoy the fellowship. And Father, we pray that your word may go out in boldness and authority, and knowing that there is none other that'll stand the test of time. Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning and pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so as I was preparing for this morning's message, I thought of the comment that is often said when we meet each other. How are you doing? How are we doing? We are soon ready to respond and say all is well, but when we think about that a little bit, many of us having the weight of the years on our path might well acknowledge that some days are hard. Some days are hard. Having navigated through 2, 3, and possibly 4 generations, especially the older people here, we sometimes find ourselves a little bit bewildered of where we're at, don't we? But the question really ought to be, how are we doing spiritually? How are we doing spiritually? And we know that we have a situation that is, we might say, plagued this world, especially in the last year. And what do we make of all of that? Now, as a people of faith in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we are a minority. That's just the way it is. The Christian faith, or the story of salvation, is not a popular story in culture today. But you talk of, and I don't want to say this, but you talk of COVID-19, you got the whole world engaged, don't we? It's the way it is. They're all on board. But should we marvel about this? Is it something that we should be alarmed of? Is it something new? Possibly for some of us it might be. I believe for the younger generation, they might not, I don't say that to degrade anybody, but as we grow in our faith, we realize this is not something new. And if it is this something new this morning, I want to invite you to come on board as we look into the history of the Old Testament. As we look into the book of Judges, and we read the history of the people of Israel, I believe it can shed some light on our current situation, our present circumstance. Back in the Old Testament, God had a visible church, and that was his chosen possession, the children of Israel. A generation that was led out of Egypt by God's servant Moses. We know that that generation rebelled against God. They were brought out of Egypt and they rebelled against God and they died in the wilderness. The next generation, having been brought to the plains of Moab, where Moses taught that generation everything that he had taught their forefathers, and it was then that Moses passed on the mantle of leadership to Joshua as their new leader. And the children of Israel inherited the blessings of God. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 12 through 15, it says this: Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. We read that and we might say, so what does this blessing have to do with our current situation? Turn with me, if you will, to Judges. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Judges chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Israel's unfaithfulness to God caused them many hardships. God had promised them the land of Canaan, now occupied by a pagan culture. We touched on this a little bit last week, last Sunday. And God said, you go in there and you conquer that nation. Occupy that nation, that land. But what happened? They didn't do it. They bailed out. because of the opposition they faced, they gave up. They said, how can we do it? There were people there that we might say those were the Canaanites, and different tribes, different cities, and they were determined to stay. So they were faced with much opposition. But the thing that they didn't get was God had empowered his people to do the job. They had the power of God to do it. Yet they gave in. They moved into the land. And we see that this is where the downward spiral began in their lives. The spiral of sin, oppression. They moved in amongst these people, and instead of cleansing the land, they began to accept the ways of the people and even adapt to that. And they became part of that culture. They not only tolerated this lifestyle, but they embraced it. They got involved. And they became one of them. As I was preparing this message for the morning, I came upon a quote, and I want to share that this morning. And it's a short one, but it speaks volumes. To me, it did. And it goes like this: the safest road to hell is a gradual one, a gentle slope, with no sudden turns. And I got thinking about that. That's the way Satan works, isn't it? He doesn't make an appointment with us and tell us, tomorrow at 2:00 I'm going to meet you. He's so sly. And here, this is where the Israelites got caught up in. And they just simply, instead of cleansing and destroying the people, they kind of adapted that lifestyle and they became part of them. And you might wonder, where are we going with all of this in our current circumstance, our current situation? You see, because the church is a minority in culture today around the world, if we're going to be true to God's word, we will face some pretty strong opposition. And are we ready for that? We read in Judges chapter 3, verse 5 through 11. Judges chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Shushim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Shushimris them 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Shushim-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into the hand, and his hand prevailed against Shushamrishyam. And the land had rest for 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. It says, and the land had rest for 40 years. We might say two generations. They had sinned, they had rebelled, they had been in oppression, and God sent a deliverer. And then it takes us to the verse 12 of chapter 3, and it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. In verse 30 it says, and the land had rest for 80 years. And we get to chapter 4, verse 1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so we see a sin cycle. And if you really study it, you find that there's seven cycles of this. Always for a time, and they found themselves in dire straits, and they cried unto the Lord, and God sent a judge to bring them out, to deliver them. And we think about that, and we shake our heads, and we think, why wouldn't these people ever have learned something? Going back, seeing where their forefathers came from. Why did they always find themselves in the same situation? I think about that sometimes, and then I think about, well, how about us? History lays it out. It's so clear in history what happened when people do not obey God's commandments. We see that. We read that. We understand that. And somehow or other, we find ourselves in those same predicaments sometime. God dealt with sin in the Old Testament, and he allowed plagues to come upon the people because he wanted to draw them nearer to him. And we might admit to that, because it is when we find ourselves in dire straits that we get closer to God, don't we? See, they had failed to conquer the land of Canaan, and God told them, but they fell into idol worship and sinful practices of the Canaanites. They were on the slippery slope of moral decline. Why was that? You see, the nation served God in Joshua and Caleb's generation, and in the generation of the leaders who led the nation after Joshua did. Then another nation, another generation came along who did not know the Lord, nor the redemption story of their forefathers. What happened? Because this generation had failed to tell the next generation what God had done for them. And I sometimes wonder if that's where we find ourselves. I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel guilty that I haven't done more than I have. We turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23, verse 23 to 25. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. God says, I will. He says, you don't have to. I will. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. We may look at this and we may say it was a sickness, it was a plague, but friends, it was sin. And if they would just turn to God, God would remove that from them. And God would bless them if only they would walk in his ways. And so we see that sin always, always pays a wage. It always brings results, and we don't appreciate them. We see that as we study the book of or the books of Judges, and at the end of the last chapter, the last verse, we read that Israel had not had a king for a while. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And it says, and every man did which was right in their own sight, right in their own eyes. That's not totally foreign to us, is it? Friends, I want to say that there's a spiritual famine in this land. There's a spiritual famine in this land. There's a cloud that is cast over this universe in the name of compromise and tolerance. And you know, let's go back to what it says in Psalm 33. It says, from the place, verse 14, from the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. God is looking down upon us. And it says he's not only looking down upon us, his people, the Christians, but he's looking upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Friends, I can't even imagine what that looks like through the eyes of Almighty God when he looks down and he sees what is happening in this universe, in this world today. And so we see that history shed some light on today's situation when we find that there are very few, if any, absolutes anymore. We are in a society or a culture where some people simply say, you can believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. We'll just tolerate each other and we'll live happily ever after. That's not the way it works in God's government. It simply doesn't. Sin that used to be sin is sin today. But what do we call it? Well, we compromise. We tolerate. And when the pressure's on, we don't feel comfortable and we kind of back off. God's word is the final authority. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing else. And so we ask, where is the church in all of this? You know, as we think about that, the indifference of opinion, or even interpretation of Scripture, how do we deal with this? I just want to say, let's get back to the Bible. Back to God's word. And healing will take place. Sicknesses will be healed. Spiritual erosion and moral decline is rapid. And it's on its way. It's all around us. It's not old school. but it's God's word, it's his final authority. Before the world is ever going to take Jesus seriously, friends, the church will need to make the first step. If we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to make the first step, because who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell the world about Jesus Christ and what he did for us if we don't? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter is talking about the church. And he says this, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so the question that I have is, have I allowed spiritual erosion to come into my life? Or have the rudiments of this world caused me to be less aware of God's faithfulness? Why did David ask for a clean heart and a renewed spirit? I don't know about you, friends, but I have need of that. I have need of that. I need to come before Almighty God and just simply pray, Lord, give me a clean heart and a renewed spirit. It is because we are plagued with sin. Our nature is not a good nature. And friends, if we do not have a new nature, the second birth, we're not going to reap the blessings that God has for us. And we can't really enjoy life to the full potential that God wants for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." There's nothing hidden. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we see that Solomon built the temple, and he prays to God that God would put his, if you will, stamp of approval on what Solomon had done. God would put his blessing upon it. And the nation offers sacrifices. And in verse 12 it says, "And then the Lord confirms his covenant." And it says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. And I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen to sanctify this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man to be, there shall not fail thee a man to be a ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, what hath the Lord done unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God and their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. How do we as a church respond to all of this? I believe it is important, in closing, to think about God's word. Take it for what it is. Leave no room for compromise or tolerance. The Lord said to Solomon, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. But I want to close with one question. Does Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, have the occupancy permit of our house? That is important. As we face the future, which is unknown to us today, but known to God, there is a hope. Because God said, I heard your prayers. That's what he told Solomon. And he said to the people, and I will heal their land. We are in need of that. We are in need of healing, spiritual healing. And it comes when we repent. Since Jesus came into my heart, well, that song rings a beautiful message. May we take that with us this morning. Let us close in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, your word shines light on our path. Whether it's the Old Testament covenant or the New Testament. And Father, there's much to be said about your faithfulness. But Lord, help us always to acknowledge we are in the eyes of him who bears the scars of our redemption. And Father, you look down upon us. You see us. And Lord, that we would simply have to come to the point at times and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit. How we have need of that. Lord, we pray that you will continue to strengthen us, that your mercy will remain new every morning as long as you extend grace to us. Lord, until we see you face to face. That is our desire. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship together. And may your spirit lead and guide us in truth and righteousness. For your honor and your glory, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I have one more announcement here this morning. And it is an announcement for an acceptance of new members. I'll read it the way it is given to me. Please accept as member in the Zomerfeld Mennonite Church name Rudy Giesbrey from Kleefeld, Manitoba, who was recommended for acceptance by Cal Hebert, Reverend Cal Hebert. Last Sunday we made the announcement application, and should there be someone here that had something against it, that they would talk to us, and since nobody has, we certainly want to accept him as a member of the church. And so I have a few questions I want to ask you, and I will ask you to stand, please. Do you confess to be born again believer? And have you been baptized upon the confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you have a love for the Word of God and believe it is the absolute truth? The last question, do you, by the grace of God, commit yourself to serve in love, to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says this, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So I will come and extend my right hand of fellowship to you. As an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I bid you a hearty welcome as a brother and sister in the Lord to the Zomerfeld Mennonite Church. Our prayer is that you might experience the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit as we serve hand in hand to build the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and that you might inherit life eternal. Amen. You may be seated. Close the service for this morning. I want to thank you all for coming, being here. I want to leave you with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in peace with the Lord. The ushers, please come.